Okay, today's daf is about Metzia daf kuf beis. We are holding up the Mishnah and daf kuf aleph amud beis, and the Mishnah is going to move on to a discussion about a maskir providing for the socher. What exactly is the responsibility of the maskir to provide? What's the responsibility of the socher? The Gemara is going to talk about the obligation of the socher to put up and to leave a mezuzah. To what extent that is the socher's responsibility? Let's say after he leaves the house, does he have to leave a mezuzah? A very, very common shaila comes up all the time. And of course, but the Gemara is also going to talk about what's the case where the Mishnah spoke about that a zevel, that the zevel, the manure that's left in the field, goes to the maskir. Whose animals is the manure coming from? Whose field is the manure landing in? Is it in the rented field, not the rented field? And that's going to lead us into a discussion of Kinyan Chatzer, specifically about Avir She'in Sofa L'Nuach. If, let's say, you have something in the airspace of the Chatzer, is the Chatzer Kona, even if the item is not going to ultimately land in the ground of the Chatzer? And also about the notion of Chatzer Shalom Kona Lo Shalom Idaito, that a person's Chatzer could be Kona for him even without his Das. The Gemara is going to have three challenges to that idea that Chatzer Shalom Kona Lo Shalom Idaito. The Gemara is also, once it's talking about Kinyan Chatzer, is going to discuss how that relates to the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. Do you ever have Shiluach HaKein in your own Chatzer, or do we say, no, you've already been kona what's ever there, and Shiluach HaKein is only on that which is mufkar, that which is not, does not belong to you? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss whether the socher has to pay for the 13th month of a leap year, meaning a guy rented a house for a year, for 12 months. So what do we do with that 13th month? And the Gemara is going to have three different approaches about how to deal with contradictory language regarding the 13th month. Meaning, let's say you didn't say a year, nor did you just say 12 months. You said both of those things. So the year, that year happens to be 13 months. That's contradictory language. Three different approaches of how to deal with it. And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss, who do we believe when there's a dispute between the socher and the maskir, whether things have been paid already, whether the schiris has been paid already? So that obviously may very heavily depend on the timing of that dispute. Was the rent payment due yet? Was it not due yet? How much past due is it? So Be'ez Hashem, that will be at the very end of the daf. So let's begin at the Mishnah. Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Hamaskir Bais L'Chaveiro. If someone rents a house to his friend, Hamaskir Chayiv Bedelas B'Nagor B'Minol. The Maskir is Chayiv in putting up a door, and the Nagor, which is like it's not really a hinge, but it's the bolt from the inside, and Minol is the lock from the outside, that when you want to lock the door from the outside. B'Kaldav Shemaisu Uman. And anything that takes a Maisu Uman in order to build, it's the Maskir's responsibility to provide those things. Aval Davar She'enu Maisu Uman. But that which is not a ma'isu uman has socher osehu, then it's the socher's responsibility to take care of those things. Has zevel shel balabayis. Any manure that's in the field belongs to the balabayis, meaning the maskir. The socher is only zocha to that which comes out of the tanur and the kiraim, the ashes of the tanur and the kiraim. He wants to use that as zevel. That's perfectly fine. That he's entitled to. Tanur abundance. We have a brisa. Maskir bayis chaver maskir chayav lahamdo delasos. Liftoch l'chalonos l'chazik l'tikra lismach l'kora. And so the maskir is chayiv to set up doors, to open up windows for him, to strengthen the ceiling, the roof if it needs it, and to strengthen the beams if the beams of the house start to rot. So the maskir has to make sure that the structure is stable, that the beams are not going to rot. So the socher chayiv lasos sulam, lasos maka, lasos marzev latiachas gagol. The socher is responsible to make a ladder, to make a maka around the roof, to make a gutter, and to tar the roof to make sure that the roof doesn't become leaky. Now the Ravid writes, the chiv of the maskir to open up windows is in one of two situations. Either there already were windows in the house and the windows were closed up, and yet lo nifritzu pitzmeim, you could still see the windowsills, so they weren't totally closed up, so the socher could say, hey, there used to be windows over here, I would like that house the way it was originally with the windows. So as long as every zecher of the window hasn't been removed, as long as there are still some windowsills there, then the socher could insist on that. Or the second possibility is if the house is dark and it's based on the ishtamshus of the house, it really should have windows, that it's not appropriate for this house to not have windows, that's where the socher could insist that the maskir should open up windows. But other than that, a guy moves into a house and I would like some more windows than there are. So that's not something that the maskir has to just, on the whim of the socher, to add windows to the house. The Nimuka Yosef is medayik from the Rambam, the sixth parak of Hilchos Chirus, that the chiyuv of the maskir to open up windows is when the windows got ruined. That it's only if his kalkulu achalonos, if they got ruined in some way, but they're previously existing windows. But he never has to open up new windows, because that's how the Rambam's lashon is, that if it's skalkalu achalonos, that's where you could ask him to put up windows. Now the idea that he has to put, that the socher's responsibility to put up a maka is also somewhat of an interesting idea, because at what point does a house become chayiv in maka? So the Chikrei Lev writes that the haschara of pachos mishloshim yom, it's a suffix whether it's chayiv in maka, so you do have to put one up, but you don't say a bracha. So that causes a big problem. Let's say you rent a hotel room for a week. So now you have to go worry about whether there's a maka al gagecha, and you have to, and it's your responsibility to put up a maka. So the Sefer Menuchas Emes, quoted by the Pinyan Halachov here, says that the payment for such a maka would be the masker's responsibility, because we follow... we follow the minhag. So even though technically it's the socher's responsibility, if the minhag is that it's the master's responsibility, that's the minhag. And thankfully, in most of our hotels that we would stay at, they already have plenty of safety, and it's taken care of on all the porches and things of that nature. Bo mine merav sheshes mezuzah almi. Whose responsibility is it to put up a mezuzah? Mezuzah, I'm Rav Mishashim, mezuzah chavos adari. Well, it's obvious. Mezuzah is an obligation of the one who lives there, and therefore obviously it's going to be the socher's responsibility. As Rashi points out, the darshina menachos beischa derech biascha lemisha shenichnas v'yotzila zeh hadarba. The person who goes in and out of the house, he's the one that's obligated in the mezuzah. So obviously it's the socher. Now Maritz Chayis points out on that Rashi, he says that that's what Rashi says in Avodah Zarah as well. However, Rashi Maseches Pesachim Dav Daled Amud Aleph writes that the reason it's Chavos Adar, not just the drush of Derech Biascha, but Lefi Shehi Mishamarto, because the mezuzah protects him. So the Maritz Chayis writes, Kvar Hirbesi Milim B'Mokom Acher She'ein Zeh Tamikir. I've already explained elsewhere that should not be one's primary focus when looking at mezuzah, even though Chazal in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yirav Amud Aleph, do tell us this notion that mezuzah is mishamer, that mezuzah does protect a person, but that's not the emphasis when it comes to the mezuzah. The Rambam writes in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Dalet, She'elu atipshin, lo dai shebitlu ha-mitzvah, el shasu mitzvah gedolu kilui kameya, shel hana'as atzmam, that these fools who only view it as like a good luck charm, and they put mezuzah where there's no chiv mezuzah, because they view it as a good luck charm, so they're taking a mitzvah Hashem, a great mitzvah, and they're turning it into a good luck charm, and that's a foolish thing to do, and that's a terrible thing to do. So the mezuzah is one has to realize, first and foremost, is it tzivoy Hashem? Does it also have protective powers? So says the Maritz Chayis, v'ikr de mezuzah mishameres kmo Torah, d'chsiv b'shachpcha tishmor alecha, v'kaim l'kaman rabbanon l'tzrichi nitirusa, v'chein shar mitzvah sir kaim l'n b'idna da'asikba Agune Yomatzli, says Maritz Chayis, Sota Daf Chafalov tells us all mitzvos, when you are doing the mitzvah, protects you. That even though, if you look through the Torah, you look through the Beis Yosef, if you look through the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch, sounds like they understand mezuzah has some sort of extra protective power. Maritz Chayis denies it all. No extra protective power of mezuzah. Every mitzvah has protective power. It's just that mezuzah you're constantly doing. Every other mitzvah you're only doing when you're doing it, but a mezuzah is a mitzvah that you're constantly doing, so it protects you so long as you're doing the mitzvah. Remember when we learned Hilchos Mezuzah with Rav Schechter, he kept, every time we came across anything about its protective power, we'd say, yeah, like every mitzvah, like he would not hear of it. That mezuzah is something different, some sort of mystical extra. No, it's every mitzvah protects a person. So it's like any other mitzvah protects a person. But you just have that idea that it's constant. That's what the Minchas Chinuch writes, that even though I'm a Vazvez, Ali Vazvez, Yosef Michomesh, typically you're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah. He says mezuzah might be different, because every second, it's such a constant, it's not just one time you do the mitzvah and it's done. You're constantly doing the mitzvah. So it could be that for mezuzah, you'd have to spend more. So that's the unique koach of mezuzah, that it's a constant kiyum. Ella, so that's not the question of who has to put up the mezuzah. The real question was, makom mezuzah almi. Who is responsible to make the place for the mezuzah in the doorway? Amar Rav Sheshes Tinisua, davar shein ma'aseh uman ha'socher oseh. Well, we said in our Mishnah, if it's not a ma'aseh uman, then it's the socher's responsibility, and the makom mezuzah is certainly not a ma'aseh uman. Vayinami, lav ma'aseh uman hu. Efshar hu, begufsa dekanya. You could put it in a reed. You could roll up the mezuzah and put it inside a reed, and that will be a perfect mezuzah cover. Mezuzah cover, mehechi tesi, that you need a mezuzah cover, says Tosfos, mikan nirak. The fact that you need a mezuzah cover implies that you put the mezuzah standing up. So that's what you need the mezuzah cover, so that it doesn't fall, that it stays, otherwise it would just tip right over. Meaning, because the mezuzah was kavua inside the doorway, it wasn't something that they would stick on with double back tape or with a nail. They would put it inside, it was hollowed into the doorway itself. But if you didn't have some sort of gufsa dekanya to hold it up, it would just fall right down. But if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, that it was put lying down, interestingly he says, like a Sefer Torah Munach Ba'aron, where you put it lying down,
so
says Tosus, I don't understand. If you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, what do you need a mezuzah cover? It's gonna stay anyway because it's lying down. And that's the famous machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, where we pass on Shulchan Aruch. That's the one thing where we pass on like neither of them. We don't pass on like the Rishonim that say it's standing up, no, it's vertical, nor the Rishonim that say it's horizontal. We do it on a slant. We do a compromise when it comes to the mezuzah, which is an unusual thing. It really means Mekar Adin, it's supposed to be standing up. So we do it, we just sort of an acknowledgement to Rabbeinu Tam. We don't do it completely standing up, but really Mekar Adin is standing up. That's why if there's not enough space, we have no problem putting it straight up. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, what's the purpose of the mezuzah cover? The purpose of the mezuzah cover is that it shouldn't get ruined from the moisture of the wall. Otherwise, the moisture of the wall could ruin it. Now that's the idea of the mezuzah cover, but we do see very clearly in the Gemara that there is this thing that you would put a mezuzah in the Pischei Tshuva. However, in Yerdea Simon Reish Peites Sifkat and Beis, he quotes from Hanhagas HaChassid HaGrazal. We call him the Vilna Gaon. In his lifetime he was called the Chassid HaGra. That's what, even though he was not so into Chassidus, to say the least, but that didn't have that connotation of Chassidus. It was just his personal behavior was that of a very high level. So anyway, so in his Hanagos it says that lo yichroch ha-mezuzah beklafu chadome shelo yechotzeitz bein ha-mezuzah l'mezuzah sabayis, that the Gra held that there shouldn't be any chatzitza between the actual klaf and the doorpost, and therefore you put it in a if you put it in a mezuzah cover, it's going to be a chatzitza, so there should be no mezuzah cover. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the divrei ha-Gra heim tema rabasi, very strange that the Gra would say such a thing. Aside from the fact that every other posik that ever lived never said such a thing, how are you supposed to attach the mezuzah to the doorpost using nails or anything else if any covering is going to be chatzitza? So he says, obviously you assume that it's all bottled to the kosel, and he says, why should it be any different than wrapping it in another piece of parchment? Isn't that also considered to be a chatzitza to the kosel? Very, very strange that the Gra would say this. Sefer Emek Bracha quotes the Gra, also says, very strange, says Mistama, it's al pi kabbalah misoda shem lireyav. We don't understand what motivated the Gra to say such a thing. Some try to deny that the Gra ever said such a thing. Very hard to understand, but the bottom line is the overwhelming majority of poskim do not assume like the Gra and assume that it's a beferish gemara, that you're allowed to have and it's encouraged to have him as a cover, and like the Balei HaTos say, at least to protect it from lachluchas hakosel, from any other elements that may otherwise threaten it. Says the Brisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Maska Bais Chaver al Socher Lasos Lo Mezuzah. Someone rents a house, it's the Socher responsibility to put the mezuzah. Ukshu Yotze Lo Yitzan B'Yad V'Yetze. And when the person leaves the house, he should not take the mezuzah with him. Tosfos and Kuf Aleph Beis points out, even though when it comes to tzitzis, Shmuel Shitis Matilin Mi Beged the Beged, by you're allowed to remove tzitzis from one beged and put it on another beged, gabe mezuzah asr lufi shamazikin ba'in bebayis she'in bo mezuzah. So again, that issue of danger, that if you're leaving a house without a mezuzah, you're leaving it vulnerable to mazikin coming and attacking the house. So when you take the mezuzah with you, it's as if you're damaging the next people that are going to live in the house because you're leaving them without mezuzahs. But if you're renting your house from a guy, then certainly you could take the mezuzah with you. And a scary story, someone took his mezuzah with him, and as a result of that, as punishment for that, he ended up burying his wife and his two children. It says in one of my solicitor, but the very previous halacha you just said was that when you rent from an achri, you're allowed to take the mezuzahs. Then right away he quoted Maisa that he has to bury his family because he took the mezuzahs. So Rav Sheshes Aresha. Now the Maisa was not where he was renting from an achri. The Maisa was where he was renting from a Jew, so he should not have taken the mezuzahs. In the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodeus and Rish Sadial, Mechaber Paskins, Socher Bayis Mechavero, the Socher has put up a mezuzah, Ukshayetze Lo Yitlana Biado, you should not take it with him, but if it's from a guy, then he can. And the Ramah adds, in the name of the Beis Yosef, that if you're makbid al ma'oseha, hasheni tzorech l'shalim lo. That if you're not allowed to take your mezuzahs, but you don't have an obligation to give a person a matana of expensive mezuzahs. The person who's moving in will have to pay you for those mezuzahs. So you have every right to tell the person, listen, I'm leaving the mezuzahs. You have two choices. When you move in, you could either replace them with your own mezuzahs and send me back my mezuzahs. I just don't want your house to be without mezuzahs, so you could do that. Or you could pay me for the mezuzahs, and I'm happy to take payment for the mezuzahs. Sometimes it's an uncomfortable conversation because people are already negotiating, you know, when you leave a house, exactly what they're paying for, what they're not paying for, and a lot of people are under the impression, oh, you have to leave it anyway, you're not allowed to charge me. No, the Ramah says you're allowed to charge. Having to leave it is because of the mazikim, it's not a dine mamonos issue, but you're allowed to charge, you're allowed to ask them to pay for it. Also, the poskim discuss, can you replace them with cheaper mezuzahs? Now, certainly mezuzah covers, you could for sure replace them with cheaper mezuzahs. You don't have to leave your silver and artistic mezuzah covers for the person. That has nothing to do with the mazikim leaving the house unprotected. So that you could certainly do. But let's say you have very expensive mezuzahs. Can you leave instead kosher but cheaper mezuzahs? So in my experience, cheaper mezuzahs very often aren't kosher. But if you could find cheaper kosher mezuzahs, so that's a discussion in the poskim. So some of the poskim suggest, yeah, in the Sefer Das Kedoshim, he says, sure you can, because you're allowed to take your mezuzahs down to check them and put up other mezuzahs while you're checking your mezuzahs. That for sure you're allowed to do. So that will be your excuse. You'll say, I'm taking them down to check them, and then I'm just saying whatever is going to be left there, that's what I'm leaving there. So you're allowed to do that as well. Hazevel shel bal habayis v'im l'sorcha liyotzim l'kam v'nekrayim bilvad. The Mishnah said that the zevel, the manure, belongs to the maskir. V'mayaskinan. If you are renting not only the house but the chatzar in front of the house and the animals belong to the socher as well, why in the world would the bal habayis be zocher in the zevel? No, it must be everything belongs to the maskir. It's the animals in the maskir, and the chatzar is never rented to the socher. Well, then pshita, then of course it belongs to the maskir. No, the maskir never rented out the chatzar. Now, obviously, the socher has the right to walk through the chatzar because he's got to get to the house, but he never officially rented you the chatzar. It remains the maskir's chatzar. Vitori, dasum alma, and the oxen come from wherever. They don't belong to either one of them. Kamuba. So that's the case where the maskir is zoche in the zevel of these oxen. That who makes the kinyan on them? The real owner of the chatzar, which is the maskir, not the socher, because the socher is not renting the chatzar, even though he has rights to go in and out. And this seems to be a raya. That a person's chatzar can be kona for him without his knowledge. So the Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Chanina from three different places. Number one, Meisvei. Im Amar Kol Matzil Sheyavol L'Socha Hayom, Tikni Li Chatzeri, Lo Amar Klum. If a person says, all of my, any Metziah that comes into my field today, that comes into my Chatzer today, I want my Chatzer to be kona for me, it doesn't work. But if it were true that it were that a chatzar of a person could be kona for him even without his knowledge, why not? Why can't every mitziah that comes into his chatzar belong to him based on chatzir shalom kona lo shalom idaito? So It must be that we're talking about a chatzer that's ein mishtameres, a chatzer that's not protected, and a chatzer shalom is karnel shalom midaito, but only if it's chatzer mishtameres. In fact, the Gemara Ihachi, if it's chatzer shein mishtameres, Eima Seifa goes on to say, yatzlo shein metzia bi'ir, if everyone knows that there's a metzia that ended up in this guy's chatzer, devar of kayamim, then, if everyone knows the metzia ended up in his chatzer, then his chatzer is actually kona, the metzia. B'viva chatzer shein mishtameres, ki yatzlo shein metzia bi'ir mayhavi. But if it's not a protected chatzer, why does it matter that everybody knows? It's not a chatzer mishtameres. How in the world could it be kona for him? So kimi di yatzlo shein metzia bi'ir, mivdal bedili in shimina, v'havi lo ki chatzer mishtameres. Since everyone knows that it's a metzia, so that the metzia has ended up in this guy's chatzer, no one else is going to want to have anything to do with it. They'll stay away from that metzia, and therefore it's ki'ilu, it's mishtamer, because it's already in everyone's mind, it already belongs to that guy. So it's as if the chatzer is protecting it for him, and therefore his chatzer is going to be able to be konit. Why would people stay away from it? Just because it's a shem metzia bi'ir? So Rabbeinu Chananel says, when the shem metzia goes out, people are afraid to enter the chatzer, lest the government's going to say that you've taken the metzia, and it's considered and therefore it's considered a chatzer mishtameres. Meaning they're going to be accused of having taken it, even if they don't take it. So they're afraid to go into the chatzer because they don't want to have to pay the taxes, the finder's tax or whatever it is. So they don't want to be accused of having taken it just by entering the chatzer. So everyone's going to be extra careful not to enter the chatzer. So it's ki'ilu, there's a force field around the chatzer that makes it a chatzer mishtameres. Meisrei, the Gemara challenges again, a second challenge to the idea of chatzer shalom. Whatever comes out of the tanur and kiraim, the ashes that you could use as fertilizer, and that which you catch straight out of the animal that you could use as fertilizer, that you get to keep. That the owner of the chatzer was not kona. V'shaberefes v'shabechatzer shel bal habayis. But whatever zevel is in the refes or is in the chatzer, that belongs to the Baal HaBayis. V'misal had Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin, if Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin is correct, Damar Chatzer Shalom Kona Lo Shalom Midaito, that a person's Chatzer could be Kona for him, even without his knowledge, Kolit Me'avir, Amai Harehu Shalom, Avir Chatzerohu. Just because you catch it straight in the air from the animal, as it emerges from the animal, why do you get to keep it? Shouldn't the Baal HaChatzer get to keep it? Because after all, it was in the airspace of his Chatzer. And isn't the airspace of his Chatzer kona for him? So Amar Abaye b'mad v'kli b'shulei para. It was never in the airspace of the Chatzer. You attached the kli right onto the bottom of the cow, where it never had a chance to go into the airspace of the Chatzer. It went straight into the airspace of your kli. And therefore, you were kona, not the Baal HaChatzer. Rava Amar Rava says different. Avir she'in sofa lenuach lav kemunach dami. It's true the airspace of a chatzer could be kona. That's only when something's in the airspace, but it's destined to land in the chatzer itself. But if it was never destined to land in the chatzer itself, it was never set up in such a way where it was going to ultimately land in the chatzer itself, then the avir is not kona. Umi pshitale le Rava? Is that so obvious to Rava that if it's ein sofa lenuach, that it's not considered to be in the avir of the chatzer is not considered to be kone? Vami bayi bayila. Didn't Rava raise this as a question? Debayi Rava. Zarek arniki bepesach zeh. V'yatsasa bepesach zeh. Mahu. What if a person takes a wallet and throws it through a rishos hayachid, from a rishos ram to another rishos ram, through a rishos hayachid? Is that considered that he's violated hachnasa and hotza'ah because it went from the rishos ram to the rishos hayachid, it was in the air space of the Rishus Yachid, then from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabim, Avir Shein Sof Lenoach Kumunach Dami, Olav Kumunach Dami. Rava raised it as a Shaila. Do you view the fact that it was in the airspace as if it were resting on the ground, even though it was never destined to rest on the ground inside the bias itself? So you see, Rava wasn't so sure about this idea that Avir Shein Sof Lenoach is not Kumunach Dami. He raised it as a Shaila. Says Gemara Hasam Lo Mifsek Velamidi, Hacha Mifsekli. No, because over there was nothing interrupting, there was nothing in between the item and the ground. So in that case, Rava wasn't sure. Is it kumunach dami or is it lav kumunach dami? But in a case where you put a kli under the animal, so whatever comes out of the animal has a kli underneath it, so it's not going to be able, there is something interrupting between the item and the ground itself, so that for sure Rava had no sveikos about. That is for sure lav kumunach dami, and therefore the avir of the chatzer is not kone for the person. v'shebarefes v'shebachatzer harelu shel balabais. We then said that whatever manure is in the refes and whatever's in the chatzer belongs to the balabais. Tarti, so the Gemara says, is that possible? You need, the Tana needs to tell me both of these things? Just tell me one of them. That since it's a situation where you were not maskir the chatzer, what difference does it make where exactly in the chatzer it is, whether it's stam on the ground of the chatzer or it's in the refes? Either way, the halacha is the same. That's how Rashi understands that. Over here, tarti is a little bit different than the way it normally is in Shas. Normally, tarti means you just said two different things that are completely contradictory to each other. Over here, it's two things that so clearly complement each other that they become unnecessary, that it's unnecessary to mention both cases. That's how Rashi understands. Tulsa says, Tarti pirish de sasrana adadi, in the conventional sense, that it does contradict each other. Daisha berefes lo itzrich lemisni legufei, de pshituhu, de socher bayis b'chazer shein lo berefes klum. It's obvious that you're not entitled to what's in the refes, so why does he have to mention it? V'lotana el lemedik she berefes lebalabayis v'shein bel socher klum, av b'chazer shiyesh lesocher ba hiluch k'nisa v'yitzi lebeiso, lo avi de balabayis. Tos says it's a stira, because when you say sheberefes, it's obvious whatever's in the refes can belong to the Baal Bayis. The socher has no chelek in the refes whatsoever. Oh, but in the chatzar, even though he's not renting the chatzar, everyone agrees he's allowed to walk through the chatzar to get to the Bayis, because otherwise it's ridiculous. How's he supposed to get to the house? So everyone agrees he has some right in the chatzar. So when you say that he's not, that the socher is not entitled to what's in the refes, it's ki'ilu we can make a diuk. Yeah, he's not entitled to what's in the refes because he has no chelek in it. But whatever's in the chatzar, since he has a little bit of a chelek in what's in the chatzar, that he is entitled to. And then the very next word you say, he's not entitled to what's in the chatzar either. So that's the tarti, that it's a stira. So Amar Abayi Hachik Amar. What it really means to say is, v'sheberefes shebechatzar, harei l'shol balabayis. If it's in the refes, that is in the chatzar. Not two separate cases, in the refes and in the chatzar. The refes that's in the chatzar belongs to the balabayis. So, which would turn out big nafkamina what the maskana is, according to Rashi and Tosos. According to Rashi, yeah, the refes, the chatzar, it's the same thing. You might as well have just said it's in the chatzar, right? It doesn't make a difference. It's just these aren't two cases. So that's how we answer the tarti. But if it were in the chatzar, it would also belong to the balabais. According to Tosos, l'chora, if the only case is refes shebechatzar is shel balabais, the implication is if it were in the chatzar itself, not in the refes shebechatzar, it would taka belong to the socher, because he does have some right in the chatzar itself. Amar Ravashi is also married, so maskir chatzir stam lo hiskir refes shabbat. If a person is maskir just the chatzir, we don't assume that the refes is included as well. So meisve, so says Gemara, we have a third challenge. The last case, refes shabbat chatzir, assumes that you rented the chatzir itself. That even if you rent, that's the chiddush, that even if you rented the chatzar itself, so whatever's in the chatzar, everyone's going to say, Rashi and Tosfos, whatever's in the chatzar belongs to the socher, but the refes in the chatzar does not belong to the socher. That's not included in the rental of the chatzar. Meisve, a third challenge. Yone shavich v'yone aliyah, the birds that come from the, they go out into the fields to scrounge for food, and they come back into the shavach or into the aliyah. Chayavos b'shiluach, you have to do shiluach hakein by such birds. V'asuros b'gezel ne dark. No one else is allowed to come and take them, but only Mnei Darke Shalom. You haven't yet been kona them. It's only an issue of Darke Shalom. But if you hold the Chatzar Shalom is kona lo Shalom Idaito, so shouldn't we say that you already own the eggs, and therefore there is no mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, because the eggs are in your Chatzar, so it's Prat L'mezuman, there's no mitzvah Shiluach HaKein when it's in your property. Right? If someone has a nest in their property, if you want to do the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, we tell them you got to be mafkarit first, because it can't be something that you own. So Amarava Beitza biyitzias ruba hu di ichai v'la bishiluach umekanya lo kanya ad enough lechatzero. As soon as the majority of the egg leaves the mother's body, that's when the mitzvah shiluach hakein begins. It only becomes, you're only kone it once it actually lands in the chatzer. V'chi katani chayavos bishiluach mikamit etipa lechatzero. So when it says that yichai v'in shiluach hakein, it only means yichai v'in shiluach hakein prior to the point that it actually lands in your chatzar. When you see that it's mostly out of the mother's body, if you happen to catch it at that moment, that's where you have a mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Well, then why is it asr mishum gezel if you never were prone to it? Aima, no, the mother is asr mishum gezel. V'ibay say liolam abeitzim, that really it is the eggs that are asr mishum gezel. Obidnafik ruba daiti lave, that as soon as the rove has come out, you already have das to use it to do the shiluach hakein, but also to be kona it already. So that's why it's asr mishum gezel. V'asher damar vidam rav asr lezakos bebeitzim kolzman sheim rovetzes aleim. Now that we say that you're not allowed to be kona the beitzim so long as the mother is hovering over them. Shnemer shalech tishalach esheim v'hadar esabanim tikach lach. At first you have to send away the mother, then you could take the babies. Afilu teimad enafel lechatzeru. You can even say that it already landed in your chatzar. Kol hecha diu matzi zachilei chatzeru zachilei. V'kol hecha diu lo matzi zachilei chatzeru nami lo zachilei. It's true, a chatzar could be kona for you, but only when you yourself are able to be kona. But if you're not allowed to be kona, then your chatzar cannot be kona for you either. Your chatzar is not able to be kona. That's a little bit difficult though, no? Because the halacha is you're not allowed to be kona, the beitzim, before you send away the mother. Let's say you pick them up in your hand, so then you are kona, you just did an aveira, but you're kona them, it does work as a kinyan. So if chatzar is mishum yad, if chatzar is just an extension of your hand, so then it should work to be kona for you, even if you're not allowed to be kona. So the Maritz Chayis makes this point. He points out that this must be assuming that chatzar mishum shlichus is rabbi, and not mishum yad is rabbi, that chatzar is the din of a shliach. And when can you make a shliach? Only on something that you yourself are authorized to do. But if you yourself are not authorized to make the kinyan, then you can't make a shliach to do it for you either. That must be the assumption of the Gemara. But says Maritz Chayis, Avul didan de kaimelan chatzar mishum yadis rabbi, vav makom doshayach shlichus kol nedvar aveira, kaimelan de mahani. We would paskin that even where you can't do shlichus, like it's a dvar aveira, like over here, it would still be kona for you. So anyway, says the Gemara, ihachi asurus begezel mepnei darkei shalom, ida shalcha gezel ma'alihu, ida lo shalcha habay shlucha. So if you sent him away, then it's gezel ma'aliyah, then it's mamish gezel, because then you already, your chatz is already kona. And if you didn't send the mother away, so then you need to the person needs to send the mother away, and it's an isra of shaleach to shalach. So why would you say gezel midrabanan? They're in violation of a bigger isra, and this is the raisa of taking before they send the mother away. So it's a more fundamental isra. So it says umar bekatan delav bar shiluachu. No, we're talking about the person who's acquiring it, who's trying to take it, is a katan who's not chayiv in the mitzvah shiluach. So he's in violation of gezel midrabanan if he takes it while the mother's still hovering over it. So katan bar darkei shalomu. A katan has to worry about darkei shalom. He's not chayiv in any mitzvah. So does he have to worry about darkei shalom? No, it means that the katan's father has to take care of it, that he's going to have to return it mipnei darkei shalom. He's the one that has to return it because of darkei shalom. Good, new Mishnah. Hamaskir bayis lechaver l'shana. Person rents a house out to his friend for a year. Nisabra shana, nisabra l'socher. If it turns out to be 13 months that year, and not 12 months that year, the socher has just received something for free. You don't get much for free in this life, that's where you get something for free. You rent it for a year, turns out that there are 13 months in the year. Hishchalo l'chadashim, nisabra shana, nisabra l'maschir. But if you rent it out on a monthly basis, X amount of dollars per month, and then they add a 13th month, so then the socher is going to have to pay for that extra month. He's going to have to pay extra money for that extra month. Maisa b'tzipori, there was a story in Tzipori Bechet, Shasachar Marchas Mechavero, Bishneimas Zav L'Shana, Midina Zav L'Chodesh, that the way they formulated the language was that it's 12 Zav for the year, 1 Dinar Zav for each month. And then there was Nisabra Hashana, so there were 13 months. So now what do you do? Uba Mais L'Fnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, L'Fnei Rabbi Yossi. The story came to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi. Va'omru Yachloku Es Chodesh Ibor. They said you should divide the Chodesh Ibor. You got to split it down the middle because of the contradictory language in the shtar. Now the idea of the extra month doesn't only come up in laws of Schirus, in the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak. Yerdei Chalik Beis and Kufman Zayin, quoted by the Penina Elech over here, says that they were the Gonmar Shak told his children, his Talmidim, that they should say Kaddish for him for 13 months. It was a leap year, and he said, I want 13 months of Kaddish. Are they allowed to do it? Because the reason that we don't say Kaddish for the full 12 months is because Mishpat Rishon began him as 12 months, and we don't want to imply that our relatives are Rishayim, so we only say for 11 months, we don't say for 12 months. But here the Gon Marashat said, say for 13 months. So the Chumash basically says, even Lashitaso, you know, I don't understand why he would want 13 months. Meaning, Mishpat Rishon Gehenim is not a year, it's 12 months, it's not a year. So what? So even if he wants to be machzik himself as a Rasha, so he should have said 12 months, he shouldn't have said 13 months. And then he said, but la'achara iyun, it became clear to me, because the Mishnah Masechet Edio says that we learn from the Pasuk, v'ayu midei chodesh b'chadsho, that Mishpat Rishon Gehenim is 12 chodesh. What does midei chodesh b'chadsho mean? It means that if this year's Nisan, until next year's Nisan, the same month, the following year. So then in a chinami, maybe the 13th month should be included because it's the same month the following year. So that's where he was coming from. But then you have the other Shaila. Okay, so even if it's true that for Mishpat Rishayim, who are unlucky enough to die in a leap year, that they get an extra month, a sentence of an extra month, but can you be machzik a tzaddik as a rasha because he asked you to be zayon to do such a thing? So he said you should do 12 months of kaddish, and then the 13th month daven for the yamid, and you'll say those kaddishim that the shliach zibur says, but not to be mevazeh him to make it like he's a rasha. We generally assume not that way. We assume 11 months, even if it's that people aren't sentenced to an extra month in gehenim just because they were unlucky enough to die in a leap year. So that's generally what we would assume. Okay. Anyway, says Gemara, Maisa Listar, isn't this Maisa Stira? We said either it goes to the Socher or it goes to the Maskir. And then we quote a story where they split it. So we should add a line in the Mishnah where if both languages are employed, then they split it. And this Maisa affirms that point. Amar Rav, Iavai Hasam, if I would have been there with this contradictory language, Havi Hivnele Kule Lamaskir, I would have said the Maskir is entitled to everything. He gets the whole extra month. Maika Mashmalan, Tfos Lashon Achron. Why? It must be because Rav holds that when there's two languages in the Shtar that contradict each other, you look for the second language. That's the one that's the Iker. And the second language was for the year, that it's X amount, that for the month rather, for each month. So the Maskir should get the extra month worth of rental. Rav Chadazim, didn't Rav already teach us this once? Tam Rav Huna, Amri Bei Rav, Astira Meyamai, Meyamai. Meyamai, Astira, Astira. If you say, I'm going to give you an Astira, which is really worth only 96 ma, but then you say Meyamai, then you get Meyamai. If you say Meyamai, Astira, then you get an Astira, which is not Meyamai. We always look at the second Lashon. No, from there I wouldn't have known that you're Tfos Lashon Achron. I would have just thought that, you know, sometimes an Astira is a little bit cheaper or a little bit more fancy, a little more expensive, and therefore it actually is worth Meyam money. So I would have thought that you're actually explaining, and sometimes the Ma'os are a little cheaper and they're actually worth a little less. So I would have thought it's just Purushika Mefarish, but it's not contradictory language at all. Kamashmalan, that no, it is contradictory language, and when you have contradictory language, you go with the Lashon Achron. Shmuel says, no, the Mishnah is talking about where the guy claims the money halfway through that 13th month. If the master is thinking on his toes and he asks for the money before the month begins, then he gets that whole month of payment because he's muchzik then he's muchzik in the money. He doesn't have to, he could take away the house for that month. But if it's at the end of the month, the socher is the one that's muchzik the money, and he doesn't have to pay anything. It's only halfway through the month, and it all works based on chazaka. Does Shmuel not hold that we go with the second lashon? That if you say that the deal is a kor bishloshim, so until the last sa is paid, they can still be chazer because the deal hasn't been met yet. But kor bishloshim sa'a b'sela ani mochalach rishon kana. But if you add an additional language of sa'a b'sela, so each sa'a, each sela, you're kona, you can't back out on each one. So don't you see it's because you added that second lashon, and the second lashon is the yikir? No, hasan time in my mishum de tafis. Hachanami katafis. No, over there it's all about being muchsak. It's a suffix, whether it's lashon rishon or lashon achron, and whatever you're muchsak and you get to keep. From Nachman Amar, third approach. Karka becheskas ba'aleh kayemes. The karka remains in the chazaka of the bailim, and even if you come at the end of the month, it all goes to the maskir. My kamashman, tfos lashon achron. Why, you're teaching us that you follow the lashon achron? Hainu de Rav. Rav already taught us the lashon achron. So says Gemara that you follow the lashon achron. And so Gemara, no, Rav Nachman saying different. Avgav the apich mepach. Even if you've switched the lashonos around, the maskir always gets the upper hand because he's the owner of the property. Rav would not say the maskir always gets the upper hand. It depends which one was said first. You always go with the lashon acharon. Rav Nachman would say, I don't care which one was said first. The maskir is the one that always gets the upper hand. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Bominei Merabiyanai tomorrow.